Good morning. We're excited this morning to introduce Chad's Hope from Manchester, Kentucky. Chad's Hope is an addiction and recovery group that we've gotten to know over the last year. Essentially got to know when my cousin Jeff, through years of addiction, and went from, you know, battling that for 20 plus years, living on the street at one point, to now having a thriving relationship with Christ. And it's been nothing short of amazing to see how all of this has transpired. I've really gotten to know these guys well over the last year or so, and incredible testimonies. Really learned to appreciate these guys. We had a fun night last night. And so we're excited to have all of you hear a little bit about their story and who Chad's Hope is. So we're going to take just a minute and have everybody introduce themselves.
I'm Jeff. I'm from Sugar Creek, Ohio.
Good morning. My name is Chad Nagel, and I'm from Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
I'm David, and I'm from Lincoln County, Kentucky.
My name's Kenneth Langley, and I'm from Crossville, Tennessee.
I'm from Puerto Rico, and I'm Arnold.
My name is Dakota Snell. I'm 32. I'm from Crossville, Tennessee.
I'm TJ Barnes. I'm from Crossville, Tennessee.
I'm Stephen McBroom from Crossville, Tennessee.
I'm Donald Wilson from Louisville, Kentucky.
My name is Forrest Quillen. I'm from Eastern Kentucky.
All right, again, just a big welcome to you guys, and thanks for being here. I'm just going to say a quick prayer, and we'll turn the service over to them. God, just thank you for this day. Thank you for the many blessings in our lives, Lord. Thank you for this group of guys and for their testimony. Lord, we just invite your presence here. We invite the Holy Spirit into this room. And God, just ask for a boldness in their presentation. Thank you for their willingness and the opportunity they have to share here. And God, just pray a blessing over their lives over the next days, weeks, and months. We just commit this to your name. Amen.
Amen. You guys hang out up here. I really would just like to present this ministry to you. We are a discipleship ministry located in Eastern Kentucky. And the reason that I really want to make that plain is this. They are a lot of recovery programs. There's probably 10 in our county that we're in, 10 recovery programs. And unfortunately, with a lot of recovery programs, they have horrible success rates. There's a lot of addiction in our communities. You drive through our town, and you're probably going to see 6 to 8 people walking on the side of the road that are homeless. We live in a very small town. We're not in a big city. There's a lot of poverty in our town, a lot of different things that are in our communities. And this ministry came from a place that I think it actually started in New York in the 80s when the gangs started coming into New York. Different things began to happen in Papalouse. Nobody had answers to help these young people. There were a lot of young people in the communities, a lot of people getting addicted to drugs, getting addicted to other things, and nobody had answers for them. The churches honestly didn't know what to do. Nobody really knew how to minister to these people that were getting engulfed in this. Heroin came on the scene in New York, and a lot of people were dying and losing their lives. And so a man felt led by God. He actually lived in Pennsylvania on a farm. He felt led by God and drawn by God to go to New York and begin to minister to these people in the streets. And he went to the streets of New York, and he stood up on a platform, and he began to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And one of the gangs approached him and told him, "Listen, if you don't be quiet, we're going to cut you into a million pieces." And he said, "Even if you cut me into a million pieces, every single piece of who I am would still scream out that I love you." And they didn't know how to respond to that. So they turned around and walked off, and this man followed them into one of these abandoned houses where they stayed at. There were about 20 men in this house. They were all gang-related and in there doing drugs, different things. And he walks up in this house and tries to minister to the leader, and the leader jumps up, grabs him, slams him up against the wall, basically spits in his face, told him he did not want Jesus, and goes around to turn away. And this pastor says, "Can I tell you one thing?" And he said, "What is it?" And he said, "Jesus Christ loves you." And the Spirit of God fell in that house, and that pastor held a revival that night, and all these gangs become together and begin to fall under conviction, fall under the Spirit of God. And he didn't know what to do because they were all in the streets. So he bought a couple houses, and he called it Adult and Teen Challenge. And he began to minister the gospel and disciple people. And this is what I believe. We do not focus on sobriety. We do not focus on drug addiction. There's a lot of people that come into our ministry. We are a ministry designed to help disciple men, and we have a women's facility in Louisville, Kentucky, men and women with people that are struggling with life-controlling issues such as sin. Not drug addiction. I don't even want to focus on drug addiction, even though the majority of men and women that come into our program are because of drug addiction, because of alcoholism, because of gambling, because of pornography, because of different things. It's sin. And we get to lead them, guide them, encourage them, and point them to Jesus Christ and see transformation in life begin to happen inside of them. But it's not easy. It's not easy to leave your family, your children, your wife, to give up your phone, your privileges, to come into a ministry that you're just face-to-face with God. That's not easy. But we get to see a great success, a great success. So we are not funded by the state. The states are not in our ministry. They don't tell us what to do. We don't have a bunch of like professional things come in, a bunch of medical things. We're not handing out a bunch of medications. We're not doing any of those things. We are a home. We are a family that just believe in one another and are trying to follow Jesus the best that we know how and love one another and encourage one another and build each other up. And I am so grateful and so honored to be a part of this ministry. And so I want to give these guys an opportunity to be able to come up and share. I think Mikey's going to share first. So Mikey, why don't you come up and share some of what God's done in your life. Thank you, brother.
Good morning, guys. So Forrest calls me Mikey. My real name is Dakota. I'm from Crossville, Tennessee. And being said, Crossville, Tennessee is a very small county with absolutely nothing to do. Growing up, I never knew anything about church. I mean, I had some buddies that went to church, and they dragged me in every once in a while, and it was an act of Congress to get me to go, and I really regret it. But now, being today, it's a better feeling. But anyways, for the past 17 years, I've been in a state of addiction, not only to drugs, but to worldly things. And that being said, I got really big into skateboarding, which led me into an accident where I had broken both my ankles and had to learn how to walk again, which had me in a state where I was addicted to pain pills. So that career was not long-lived at all. So after that, I started doing other things in life that was just being stuck in sin. I ended up having 5 kids. Well, in that time period, I didn't know how to be a father because I never had a father. So I was just wrapped up in worldly things trying to do what I thought in my eyes a father should do, which would be going to work every day and just providing. Well, in that time, it was taking everything I had out of myself to go and just provide. So I got back into drugs, and it just kept taking me down the road where I would wind up in jail and all sorts of different stuff. Until one night, I laid in a jail cell, and I asked. I said, God, if you are real, you'll show me something. And the next day, I got a phone call, and it was actually from a dude in the program, Kyle Booth. And he asked me if I really wanted to get help and I would be intentional with it. And I told him, yes, I would. So now I'm in Manchester, Kentucky, and I've learned one of the biggest things that I could ever learn right now, and that is contentment. That I don't have to worry about what I'm going to do tomorrow or what am I going to do next week or next year whenever I'm out of the program. It's not about that. God told me that if I just be content and seek him, that I will not have to worry about nothing, that everything will be provided for me, just to be patient and know that, you know, God has it all. Thank you, guys.
Amen. Amen. I want to allow Stephen to share his testimony. He's been with us for a while. He gets really nervous speaking. One of the things that I love is this. Paul said, I don't come to you with persuasive words or to entice you with just words and knowledge. He said, but with demonstration and the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And a lot of these guys may not have or know how to speak really well. I've spoke a lot, so I do okay. But it's encouraging for us that live together to get to see the demonstration and the power and know that these men's lives are being transformed by the gospel. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. So I'm Stephen. I'm from Crosswell, as I spoke just a second ago. I just want to thank you all, first of all, for having us. It's been an honor. It's been a blessing. So, like I said, I just want to share my testimony with you guys. Had a pretty good upbringing in my life. I was raised in a church with a Christian family, and it all started with me. I chose, as I was getting older, as I thought I was maturing, that I decided to astray, leave from church and go about my own will and my way. I struggled with my father with alcoholism and his addiction, and it led, as I was getting older, it was a choice, and I chose to take the path to drugs, and alcohol. Made it through high school, graduated, got my GED. And from there, things just was descending. I fell out, like I said, in drug addiction. Went to jail, probation, went back to jail. And I was just in this bottomless pit. I was so full of myself. It was like I was holding holding Satan's hand and just walking with him for him. And I'd been bottomless. My parents, my mother, she was praying. She had prayed. But I wasn't ready for change, and until I was ready to step out and take that step of faith, to come to Jesus, like it was unnecessary for my mother. But now, today, where I'm at, I can't thank her and praise her and give her all the honor and the glory as I do the Father, So I went to jail, like I said, a few times, got put on probation, ended up going back to jail, and I just felt that was the Lord calling me. If he couldn't get me any other way, this was going to be the way. And I found myself, like Mikey has said, praying, Lord God, if you're real, save me. Take me away from this. Make me, transform me. And I got called out to the tower for a phone interview. And it, like I said, it was Kyle Booth, and he asked if I was ready to take this thing seriously and let the Lord move in my life. And I said, yes, sir. And I struggled with nicotine addiction and stuff. But he said, well, we're going to work through that. Just trust in the Lord and trust this process, and all will be for the good. I said, okay. So now I'm at Chad's Hope. Been there 8 months. God is just so good. Being transformed and walking in his light, no longer holding Satan's hand, but holding the Lord's hand and walking with him, is just, words honestly can't express it. I'm so thankful to be where I'm at today. I've gained my family back and then some. The Lord has just blessed me abundantly, and it's just a process, and things just keep getting better, man. Every day is a new day, yes, but I'm so grateful, and I'm so thankful, man, at what God is doing. And I thank you guys again for having us and having me and letting me share my testimony. Thank you.
Good job, brother. Good job, brother. All right, Jeffrey. Jeffrey's going to come and share what the Lord's been doing in his life, and we're grateful for him. So come on up here and hang out with us. Thank you, brother. Hey, I love you, man. Proud of you.
Whew. see if I can keep it together this morning. Yeah, the first time I met this guy, I was in chapel. The first week I got there, sitting in chapel, feeling sorry for myself, didn't want to be there. Jared can attest to that. He took me down there kicking and screaming. But first time he came into the chapel, he had his hand out and this big smile on his face. And I was like, man, what is this dude? This dude does not know what I've been through. What is he smiling about? Like, he just came over, shook my hand, said, welcome. I'm glad you're here. And for 6 weeks or so, I didn't really accept that I was in a place that God could help me. And after that, submission and surrendering was a big part of my journey. From there on, God's been doing amazing things in my life. And let me think, the hardest thing I had to do was be there was live in a house with 25 guys. Not quit doing drugs, smoking, living in a house with 25 guys is probably the hardest thing I've ever had to do. But, yeah. Jake, I got notes, but I didn't open them yet. So, you want me to open them? Nah. But anyway, what God's doing in my life now, He restored my family. Like, my family, this community. prayers can be answered. This community is. These guys can attest to how great this community is, how you guys poured into me, and I poured into these guys, and they feel how you guys blessed us, blessed me, and how you guys blessed them, and we can't thank you enough. But, yeah, my family, Robert, my brothers, his family, my youngest brother, he's such an instrumental part of my walk. I can call him any day, any time, and we can talk about how we walk with God and what we do. And yeah, I thank you, man. I just wanna, there's one other thing. I know that when you repent, and you're in Kentucky and you repent that you you repent of your sins and stuff, but there's people, I know I hurt a lot of people in this community. I just want to say I'm sorry, and I hope that you guys can find in your hearts to forgive me. And so, man, I feel like I'm floating. So I thank you from the bottom of my heart for everything you guys do for Chad's home, for me, and for all these guys that aren't here. So I thank you, and thank you for letting me share.
You guys are good to go. Good to go. Amen. You're good to go. You guys can go sit down. Thank you, sir. Yeah, that's what I meant when I said that.
I want to say this about Jeff. I get tickled when I first met Jeff in the chapel room. He obviously told me he didn't want to be there, and he made a comment to me, which is one of the comments that I hate to hear, but it's okay because I get it with guys coming in. But he said this place is like a prison, and I was like, ah. I said okay, Jeff. I said, how is this place like a prison? And he said, you know, you would think that somebody's about to say, I can't smoke cigarettes. Like, I can't make a phone call when I want to make a phone call. I can't see my family anytime. And his response was, I can't go get food anytime I want to get food. And I was like, well, okay. My man, he has been eating well. You know, but I think about that when I think about Christ. You know, his statement, this place is like a prison, when he first came through the doors, reflects the transformation and the power of God in his life, because now this place that was a prison is a home.
that he chooses, that he loves, that he appreciates, that he respects. And I think a lot of the times when we first come into Christ, it feels like a prison. I feel restrained. I feel like there's all these rules. I feel like these things. But then when you get into the presence of God and the goodness of God, all of a sudden this place that you felt like had so many rules and so many restraints all of a sudden becomes home, and it becomes life and peace and fullness and joy. You know, Jeff was right. I was actually kind of shocked about a lot of things coming into this community. This community is very different from what I've experienced. I have traveled a lot. I've been to a lot of states. I've been to other countries. I have spoken in a lot of high schools. I've been involved with different ministries, different missionary things. And I don't think that I have ever been in a community this strong, this beautiful. And one of the things that I know that you got right, which I preach on a lot, is family. Is family. And honestly, that's the thing that we kind of focused on in the ministry of Chad's Hope, is that we figured out this can't be a program. This can't be a place that people come to that they get into a program. We've really got to focus on the gospel and become a family together. This has to be about family. This has to be about loving one another, building one another up. And we kind of created that heart and that culture together. And one of the things in this community, in this church, and the homes that we've got to see and visit, and the people that we've got to talk to. I talked to some young men yesterday, and they were telling me about their high school. I have never, ever met a young man or a young woman that told me that they go to a high school with like 1,500 people and told me that it was not off the wall crazy. And they said, yeah, I go to a good school, and it's calm. And it's respectable. And it blew my mind. I want to read this to you. I heard this a few weeks back, but this is a really powerful statement. And I want you to understand the impact of these men, of you. Because whenever I got saved and delivered, now you got to understand, I came from a home full of addiction. Both of my parents were strung out. I lived in a trap house. And a trap house means I lived in a home that people sold drugs from. There were people in and out of my house. I got taken away. My parents divorced. I got put into foster care. I couldn't live with my family. I bounced from home to home to home to home until I finally became of age. The day that I turned 18 years old, I went to prison. I spent 2 years of my life in prison, got out of prison, went straight back to prison, spent another 2 years of my life in prison, and I came out of prison. I was 22 years old, and when I came out of prison, I ended up in a mental institution because of all the drugs, all the things that I was doing. They told me that I was bipolar, I was clinical depressed, I had a lot of different mental things going on in my life. I was enslaved deep into darkness. But the two most powerful things that I feel like has kept me from Christ is two things, and that is pleasure and ignorance. Pleasure and ignorance. I thought about writing a book one day and calling it The Tradition of Ignorance. A lot of communities and places that you go into are very dark, very deeply in bondage. There's a lot of things happening there, and a lot of the times it's because of ignorance. They have not been passed down by family, by fathers, by mothers. They have not been trained up. They have not been built up with the qualities and the understanding of their potential of what they can do. They have not been pointed in the right direction, and the only thing that I understood growing up was like when I would come home from school, my parents would open up a door and they would tell me, listen, son, go play. We're busy right now. And really what they were saying to me was, go find something that pleases you because we're too busy pursuing our own pleasure. So that's what I did with my life. I sought out pleasure, whatever pleased me, whether that was video games, whatever I was going up, going anywhere I wanted to do. I had no structure in my life. So I gave my heart entirely to pursue after pleasure. And when you read in Scripture in Timothy, it said, in the last days, man will become lovers of money, having a form of godliness. It says they will be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And that's where my heart was. I love myself. I didn't know how to love people. I knew how to pursue pleasure. That's sin.
And I was so deeply engraved to it. And sometimes it doesn't matter. Now, I came from a really rough, I didn't get to choose my beginning. Not everybody comes from where I come from. Some people come from really good, godly homes, and they can still choose sin, and they can still choose to be enslaved into sin, to get in very dark places in life. It's not about drug addiction. It's about the pursuit of what your life is. It's what do you find pleasure in. And a lot of people don't know how to find pleasure in God. A lot of people don't know how to find pleasure in family. And when I remember when I got saved, I'm going to be honest with you, I had my priorities mixed up because I put God first, but I was so passionate about ministry that I was destroying my family. I didn't know how to be a good dad. I didn't even know how to be a man. My Heavenly Father had to teach me how to be a dad. My Heavenly Father had to teach me how to be a man. And the one thing that I'm really encouraged by that's really powerful in this community is that you got family right. And you see the fruit of it. There's a lot of blessing. There's a lot of strength. And that encourages me. I want you to listen to these statistics. 71% of all high school dropouts are kids that do not have a father figure in their home. 71% of all high school dropouts. Listen, 71% of all pregnant teenagers are those who do not have a father in their home. 85% of all children with behavior disorders, 85% of all kids with behavior disorders are those who do not have a father in their home. 90% of all homeless, people, 90% of all homeless people or runaways are those that do not have a father in their home. Now, when I go into a school back home and I ask 1,000 kids, how many of you do not have a father living in your house? Listen to me, over 60% of that 1,000 raise their hand. 60%. So at Chad's Hope, it is an honor for me to see my Heavenly Father teach men how to be men, teach men how to be fathers, teach men how to restore and lead their families. You know, Chad's Hope is this. It's a ministry used by God. It's not the answer. Jesus is the answer. But I tell men when they come into this ministry, you are here to become a man that you have never been before. You are here to become a man that you have never been before. I don't care if you were living good once upon a time in a life and you're trying to think, oh, if I could just go back to being that person got you into the mess that you're in. You don't need to go back and be that person. You need to become a man that you have never been before, and you are here to have a life that you have never had before. And this is what I know, and this is what most people do not understand. When you give yourself over to sin and you open the door to sin, it welcomes a desire inside of your heart. And what you cannot do when you welcome an ungodly desire inside of your heart, what you cannot do is decide that you don't want it there anymore. You don't get that choice. So what do? When you have an ungodly desire inside of your heart, whether that's lust, pornography, gambling, whether that's drug addiction, alcoholism, whatever that is, what do you do when you have an ungodly desire in your heart that you just can't go inside and turn a light switch off and say, I'm not going to do that anymore? You can't get rid of it. God can. Jesus can. He can change our hearts. He can make us a new creation. Psalm says that He gives us the desires of our heart. That doesn't mean He gives us a lot of nice things and all this stuff. Even so, some of us are blessed. It means that He gives us godly desires. He makes us enjoy Him. He makes us love Him. He gives us desires that we want to be in the presence of God. We want to open up our Bibles and read our Bibles because we begin to love it and enjoy it, and He places those things inside of our heart. But in order to do that, we have to position ourselves before Him, and that's what we help man do. We help them come to Jesus, sit at Jesus' feet, and learn how to be a man of God. That's our heart. That's our goal. That's what we do. When I came into this ministry 10 years ago, I'm telling you this right now, I was the most, I think about Genesis. You know, it was darkness over the face of the deep. It was unformed. I was so messed up. I was so full of demons. I was so full of darkness. But I encountered a Heavenly Father that loved me. And I encountered a man of God that seen past all my darkness, all my sin, and seen into me and said, "Son, Jesus loves you, and you are valuable to Him." And I gave myself fully and wholeheartedly to God to say, "You can have everything that I am." And He completely transformed me into a new creation. He gave me a completely new heart with new desires. I'm set free from drug addiction. I didn't relapse one time. It's been 11 years. I haven't thought about getting high. I haven't wanted to get high. I haven't gotten high. I was completely delivered and transformed from drug addiction, from smoking cigarettes. Listen, my mental capacity, God began to renew my mind, and the Spirit of God began to open me up to heavenly wisdom, and I began to understand things and see things. So it is a great honor to be here today on behalf of this ministry. I believe I have given my life to serve in this ministry. It don't pay much. I could honestly go to McDonald's and get a job, and McDonald's would pay me more money than I get working at this ministry. But I believe this is one of the most fruitful ministries on the face of the planet, and it is an honor for me to serve here with these men. And I want to appreciate, because listen to me, I did not have a dollar to my name when I came into this ministry. I had no clothes. I came in with a garbage bag with one outfit to my name when I came into this ministry. I couldn't afford it. There's costs. There's things that have to happen here. I couldn't afford it. I couldn't go. And it was because of people of faith. It was because of the partnerships that we have and people of faith that allowed me to come to this ministry and encounter Jesus Christ and become a disciple and grow into the man of God that I get to serve and to follow with Him today. So thank you. Thank you for believing in us. Thank you for sowing into us. Thank you for giving to us. Thank you for what you've done for us. You guys have done some cool things you don't even probably know about. They've sent down some equipment for Chad's Hope into the wood shop with Jeffrey and what he's doing. You guys have been a real big blessing to us, and we just want to thank this community. Listen, it's a six-hour drive back home today. We come a long way to see you, and it's been worth every mile of it. You guys have been a blessing to us. You've ministered to us. You've encouraged us. You've strengthened us. And we just want to thank you guys for the opportunity to be here today. I want to invite the pastor back up to pray with us and to close out. And I thank you so much. Thank you for having us. Amen. Amen, brother. Amen, brother. Thank you, sir.
Oh, let's give the Lord a praise offering. Thank you, Brother Forrest, for sharing. Brothers, for being here. I don't know, what did you hear this morning? Yeah, we heard Forrest speak. We heard the the testimonies of the brothers here. Oh my. I saw and I heard beautiful things. I heard the clanging of chains. I could not help but think and hear. I heard the clanging of chains, these chains that bound you falling. I heard the shrieking of demons. And now we see and hear beautiful things that came out of, that are rising up out of the ashes of the darkness, that the darkness of the bondage that Satan had on your lives. And in the place of ashes, there's beauty and there's life, there's joy and there's hope. And God, above all, God is honored and glorified. Praise the Lord. I remember when Jesus said, when Jesus told his disciples when he was with them, he's going to go back up to be with his Father. He said, you're going to do greater things than what I can do. And I've often thought about, what does that mean? I think I'm beginning to understand at least a small portion of that. When something else that I saw to say that, Jeff, I didn't know you, but for several years, and I've come to know you and love you dearly. But Jeff was on the streets up in New England somewhere, and he met Jesus. Jesus' name was Jared, and all of us can be the hands and feet of Jesus. Jared, I don't know where you're at, but you didn't have to go up there and rescue and show Jeff your love, but you did. And Jeff, you didn't have to come back. You could have said, no, I'm not, but you did. And I hear from your testimonies, people, I heard you say it, Kyle and Jeff, talked about your families and blessed you, friends and family of Jeff, of being here and supporting him and for how you poured into his life and been the hands and feet of Jesus doing the greater things. Jesus isn't here in body, but yes, he is through the Holy Spirit. Kyle's mama praying for him. He saw Jesus in her. And I'm inspired this morning to be the hands and feet of Jesus to accomplish the greater works than he can do if he was here on earth through you, through each one of us. Thanks so much for sharing, Forrest, and the challenges and blessing us with the knowledge and the realization of family and how powerful the family model is. And I want to just challenge us all, especially dads, thank you for being in your home with your family and being faithful to your wife. Be present. Don't just be there in body. Let's not just be there in body, but be present and fulfilling God's will for us to be in our homes, because we can be. There are men that are in their homes that really aren't there. And I grew up, or I didn't grow up. I have a dear friend who grew up without a father. But his father was in his home all the time. But he didn't have a father. So we can hide in our community. We can hide our addictions. And if you're here this morning and struggling with an addiction, you heard life. You heard there is hope. And there is hope. And it's in the presence of Jesus. And I love how you bring your men into the presence of Jesus, and there lies the answer. And if you are struggling with addiction, find someone to share with. You're not alone. There are many that suffer addictions, and it's a defeated effort to fight it alone. So find someone to share that with and walk with you in that. Jeff, I'm so proud of you for doing the hard things. Not that it matters that I'm proud of you, but I am anyway. And there are a lot of people here proud of you for doing what you did and doing the hard thing and allowing God to make beautiful, beautiful things out of your life. So I'll ask you all to stand. We'll close in prayer. And thank you again, Chad's Hope, gentlemen, for being here. And we're blessed, we're challenged and inspired. So God, go with you. Safe travels back home. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise and we bless you for the power in the almighty name of Jesus. Through the power of your shed blood, addictions, men can be set free. Women can be set free from the bondage of sin. Lord God, I thank you for the testimony of these brothers here today. And I pray that you would bless them with safe and enjoyable travel back home. And I pray that you would fill them with your spirit and empower them for every test that they're going to face. There will be some hard times, and that's for all of us. God, I pray for every person here that I thank you for every victory won. And I pray, God, that every test and every battle, every temptation that comes, may you grant us grace and strength to fight and to overcome. And we know that is possible and only through the name and through the shed blood of Jesus. So dismiss us with your blessing. We thank you for being here and what you've done for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and you're dismissed.